This is Antoine Gerlain. I'm here with Emile Crisar at Camp Hill Ghent in Ghent, New York. It's the first day of July 2015, recording for the Oral History Summer School and the Hudson Area Archive. Emile, would you like to introduce yourself?
What?
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Do what?
Would you like to introduce yourself?
What do you want me to say?
Your name would be great.
Emile Crisar.
Okay. Would you tell me a little bit about where you're from?
I was born in New York City in 1925. Lived in New York all my life up to this point. I'm still here. Family is here. And that's about it. Traveled around the world a little bit. Been to Europe. Traveled around, saw a little bit of the world, all around the country, and would like to make some more trips, but it's beyond my possibilities now because of age and health, and that's about it. Living on. What else would you like to know?
Would you tell me a little bit about your travels?
Well, where would you like to know? Been to Europe, traveled around Europe, to most of the European countries. Bought a car in Europe and a couple of friends of ours, and we shared expenses, had a wonderful time just traveling and seeing the rest of the world, and then finally came back here and got married in the 50s, raised a family so far. And everybody's here. That's about it. Living a normal life, I assume. So, nothing too exciting. Would like to see more of the world, but health and expenses prohibit that. So that's about it. Had to be satisfied with what I've done. That's all. What else would you like to know?
You mentioned travel in the United States as well. Would you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, we have cross country once to the West Coast, then from there went to Hawaii and came back. Traveled down to Mexico, traveled the length of Mexico, very interesting experiences, traveling in a foreign country. And from Mexico, back up to the States and back home. And that was it. And got married. And raise a family here. And still here. Families all around, which makes it much more livable when you have your family around you. So that's good. And that's about it. Living, live and let live. So that's about all.
Would you tell me some more about your family?
Hmm?
Would you tell me some more about your family?
Well, such as what? Family's all here around me. Well, within short distance, we get together holidays at each other's homes, Thanksgiving, Christmas, so forth. We see each other all available in case, at each other's disposal in case we need each other for any reason, which makes it wonderful to have your family around you when you need them. And that's about it. Family's here, I'm here. And that's it.
Does your family, they live in Columbia County or in Ghent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the family's all here, or all in the neighborhood area. Yeah, they're all here, living here. Most of them have grown up here now, had their own families, and we see each other quite often during the holidays, especially. So, makes it nice, important to have family around you. And that's about it. Not much more to tell, just it's, I'm here, they're here, we're all pretty much together. We need each other, we can call on each other, which makes it good. My son is hoping to be a veterinarian, but didn't work out. Couldn't get into a vet school for love of money, difficult, but he did graduate from med school, and he's a doctor here in the county practicing, has a practice here in the county, has his own practice. So that's about it. Nothing more I can tell you.
Do you want to talk a little bit about raising your family? Did you raise your family in New York City or in Columbia County?
To what now?
Do you want to talk a little bit about raising your family, and did that happen here in Columbia County or in New York City?
No, here. I raised my family here. I wouldn't want to raise them in the city. So that's why we moved up here, to get away from the city. And they're all around me here, my family, and their family, their kids, so forth. We're all here, fairly close. That's about it.
So you have grandchildren in the area also?
Yeah, several grandchildren. Yeah.
Would you like to talk a little bit about your grandchildren?
Hmm?
Would you like to talk a little bit about your grandchildren?
Well, they're all, you know, young, growing up. Not much to say about them. They're all still fairly young. Haven't found their way yet, but I guess they will, little by little. And I hope to, we'll all be, you know, fairly close. We don't expect them to leave for any reason, though. They're all rather close to each other. They see each other often. And they're all here around us, around each other. You know, holiday and such, we're all each other's house, and that's it. Holidays, we take turns whose house we go to, which makes it nice to see more of each other that way. And that's the way it goes. One holiday over one house, another holiday over another house, see you then. Take turns who makes the turkey. And that's about it.
So they're different. You have more than one child that lives around here. The different houses; those are different different children of yours.
Yeah. Yeah, they all get along pretty well.
So you mentioned your son, who is a doctor. What about your other children?
Well, like I said, one son is a doctor, practices in the city. In the county, and the others just find their way. Mark has his own business, and the others have working for people and so forth. You know, we see each other. That's about all. Not much else to tell. Just one family. But some more I can tell you.
Would you tell me a little bit about what you did for work?
I got into the automobile business when I was young and started selling cars. Found it very interesting and picked that up as a trade and sold automobiles for different makes of cars for about 30, 40 years. And that's about it. That was my end up doing trading automobiles. Sold different cars, you know, Volkswagens and Lincoln and Mercury's for about close to 40 years and until I retired. And that was it. So here I am. Not much more to tell.
I'd be interested to hear more about the automobile business through all of those. I'd be interested to hear more about the automobile business through all of those decades. I imagine you must have seen a lot of changes and a lot of interesting things through the years.
Yeah, a lot of makes dropped out. And, you know, I changed around different makes. Some cars, automobiles I liked, some I didn't. So I went from, didn't do much change, but went from one brand to another. Mostly on the sizes and brands. Like Volkswagens, to big to small cars, big cars, and end up selling small cars, Volkswagens, of course, got more popular and stayed with that brand for quite a few years, for almost 20 years. And that was it, till they died too. So it went with the holidays, with the, what the people liked, what they bought, and it all depended on the economy, the situation. Some brands stayed, some died. Oldsmobile was one of the old ones that hung around for almost 100 years, and that finally died out. And no more Oldsmobiles. But, so, that was it. Stayed with one brand for about 20 years, enjoyed it, had a lot of satisfied customers, a lot of very satisfied customers, could say that, and then one thing led to another. Sold one family, in the family, quite a few cars. One would recommend the other, and some people in one family sold as many as half a dozen cars in one family. And they would each would bring their friends in, their spouses, their children, you know, because they were satisfied and were happy with me and happy with the brand. And that's that. That's the way it went. That's all. Signing off.
Would you like to keep talking, or would you like to keep talking, or is that enough?
The what?
Would you like to keep talking, or have you had enough conversation?
No, enough. What else you want to know?
Well, I'm enjoying the conversation. But we can. I'm happy to keep talking if you'd like.
Oh well, if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Sure. Well, I'm still interested in hearing about the automobiles. You mentioned that these ups and downs through the years and popularity and, you know, the economic times. And how that would change what cars people were buying, and I'm interested to hear more if there was.
It goes with the economy, people, you know, buying what they could afford. So it's the way it goes. The economy is poor. They're going to buy cars that they can afford to drive, you know, good on gas and so forth. And some people like, you know, different kind of cars. I kind of like the bigger cars. But I've interviewed, you know, I've had my heart set on both small cars and larger cars. So most of the time I've had both in the family, you know. Depends on where we're going, if we do take trips or so forth. So just surprised some cars are around, still around, and some have died out. There's no more Pontiacs, no more Chryslers of certain makes, just died. Yeah. Reason is economy. People would buy a car that they can afford, they can drive around and get 20 miles on a gallon, 30 miles on a gallon. They try and buy the ones that most give them the most mileage. So, and that was it. They stick with that until something better came along they could afford. So, no more. Certain makes we'll never see again. So, that's about it. Time marches on.
Do you want to tell me about what brought you to Columbia County originally?
The what?
Do you want to tell me about what brought you to this area originally?
What brought me up to Hudson?
Yeah.
Anxious to get out of the city. Didn't like city life. So moved up here. Found some houses. We bought some fixer-uppers with my father and I. And we found what we liked. Bought a couple of old houses. Fixed them up. Still there, still living in the same old house. We moved into when I moved up here, but I built a new house a few years back, finally, and still living in it. Built a new house about 10, 15 years ago, a brick house, and moved into it, got married. I'm still here. House is here and I'm here. And I expect to live here the rest of my life. That was it. That's it. Don't expect to be moving any place. Some people like to move around every few years, but not the moving kind. That's all. That's about it. Stick in one place with family and friends. That's all. I'm signing off.
Did you live in Hudson?
Hmm?
Did you live in the city of Hudson?
Did I ever live in the city?
You lived in the city of Hudson? That's where these houses are?
No.
No?
No. No. Outside of Hudson. Nearby, you know, within a couple miles.
Okay.
few miles. Fixed up, you know, bought a couple of old houses, fixed them up, and my son is living in one. We fix up for ourselves. And then I finally decided I need a new house, so after a number of years, I fixed up, I built a new house. So back about 20 years ago, and still living in it. Expect to live in there the rest of my life. So that's about it. Still here. Still living in the outskirts of Hudson. So that's it. Signing off. Anything else I can do for you?
I'd love to hear about life in Hudson earlier on when you were younger. If you have any particular memories of Hudson or people there that stand out in your mind?
No, not really. Hudson hasn't changed much, I don't think. A few buildings here and there, a couple of hotels and so forth, but I don't think... I don't think Hudson has changed much that I can see. It's spread out a little bit. That's about all. We moved up here to get away from the city, so that's what we wanted to do. Wanted to come up here and set one spot. You know, have our own house and. The whole thing was to get out of the city, and we did. And we're out of the city, and we're here. That's all. That's all I can tell you. Das ist alles.
Excuse me?
Das ist alles. That's alles, which is, that's all.
In what language?
That'd be German. That's all. Alles is... My father spoke 8 languages because he did a lot of running around in Europe. And, well, during the war, you know, First World War, every few years they became a different country over there. So as they moved the borders around, you moved with them and you learned the language. You had to, otherwise you couldn't communicate. That's all. Yeah, he spoke 8 languages, my father. He worked in a hospital. He had a gruesome job of admitting the patients as they came in and evaluate them, what to do with them. They bring a guardian on a stretcher, and he had to look them over and see, what do they do with this man? Did he send him in for operations? Is he going to live? Is he going to? It's a gruesome decision to make. Or is he going to? Is he going to die? Is it worth trying to save him? Some of them would come in, nothing but a bundle of bandages. You had to take all the bandages off and see what you could save of them. They'd be, you know, amputees, legs amputated, arms amputated. Some would be nothing but a bundle of bandages. It's a gruesome job. What to do with them? Send them on? And the man would be pleading, please, don't let me die, don't let me die. Not much you could do for him. Move on to next. See if there's anything that doctors could do for him. That was it. Nobody wants to die. Sometimes the wounds were so severe, nothing you could do for them. It was a gruesome job, too, to either move him on or try to save his legs or arms or whatever. Not much you could do for him sometimes. You get one who'd come in and had both arms possibly severed, both legs, being nothing but a bundle. That's rough. You're lucky if you could save him with, you know, leave him with at least one arm or one leg or something. Whatever you could do. So that's it. So, what else would your heart desire?
Did your father tell a lot of stories about serving in the war?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he was in the army, of course, but in the front line there someplace, and he got a call to come home. His mother and younger brother died in an explosion. They went in the morning to feed the animals. First thing every morning was to feed the cows and horses. The animals came first. They went into the barn, and nobody knows what happened, but they went into the barn, and the barn exploded. For some reason, there was something in there of explosion, a bomb or something. They don't know what. Nobody knows what or where. Just if there was a bomb in there, set off or something happened. They don't know, just that he went into the barn to feed the animals and the barn exploded. There's apparently some explosive in the barn or something that killed both his mother and brother, younger brother. That was it. So, he says when he sent him home, you think he'd have a jacket to put on or something, or a coat. All he had on was his ordinary shirt, light type shirt. In the trains, there's no heat or nothing. Just almost froze to death on the trains. That was it. Till he got home. That's the way it was. It was rough. No heat, no nothing. No clothing, just a shirt, ordinary shirt, no coat, no overcoat, nothing like that. That was too much of a luxury. That's it.
Where did your father grow up?
My father?
Yeah.
Where he grew up?
Yeah, you describing him having to go home from the front. I was wondering where his home was.
No. Well, it's a place called Chernovitz. It's a small town, small city, you know, unless you're familiar with it, you wouldn't know where it is. It's in Europe, in a small city. And small city, it's on a map, I've seen it, you know. I wanted to visit there, we still have relatives there, a few years ago when I was in Europe, but it was difficult. I was trying to get to it, but it's not like here, you just don't get up and go there. You have to have kind of all kinds of permits, and they do everything they possibly can to make things hard for you. So I got close to it, but that was about it. I was gonna leave. I was in Vienna. I was in Vienna, Austria. I was going to leave there and head for the town, the city, where the relatives are still there. But my father wrote me a letter that his brother wrote him, that because of the situation over there, still. A few years ago, things were still rough between the Russians and everybody else, that might be a better idea if I didn't come, you know, to visit them. Because with the Russian domination there, still might cause problems for them, you know, might think to. What am I doing there? Just they can't understand that I just want to visit them and say hello. So I didn't go. I got close, but I didn't go. Because, like they said, you know, might be close, might be cause them problems. Things are different than here. So that there's always that bigotry, and there's always that fighting there. So I said, why go? That maybe they might be investigated after, you know, that why am I coming there, and so forth, and so on. And so I didn't even go to visit my relatives. It was too close. Say, like I said, it might cause them troubles. It didn't cause me any trouble, because I would say hello and be there a few days and leave. But so say hello and goodbye. Sounds silly, but that's the way it is. You wonder about how stupid could things be like that. What can I tell you? So that's that. Sounds silly that you can't visit your relatives just a few miles away, 10, 20 miles away. Of course, you might cause some trouble by visiting them and saying hello. So, yeah. So what are you gonna get?
So you've never made contact with those relatives?
No. My father always wrote to, you know, but I never got to visit him any. But I said, it might be better if I didn't come. What are you going to do? There's always something happening, going wrong with them.
How did your father end up coming to the United States?
We came here after the war. And I don't know, forgot who came first, my mother or my father. And I think they knew each other from Europe, you know. So they came here and I guess, you know, they got married here. Much more, I don't know.
The rest of his family stayed in Europe?
Yep. Yep, pretty much so. you tried to leave, but it wasn't, isn't that easy, you know. You have nothing to leave with, a suitcase and a couple of dollars in your pocket, that's all. My father says when he came here, the first day, my uncle met him when he got off the boat, I guess, or whatever, and took him downstairs to, they had a restaurant or something, and gave him a mop and a bucket of water and tell him, put him to work cleaning up, mopping the floors the day he came here. Congratulations, you're in America. Get to work. That was that. And he worked ever since. One thing, another thing, you know, he picked up the baking trade and learned to become a first-class baker. Worked in some of the finest bakeries in the city. Got to bake high-class stuff, you know. And worked his ass off, and that was it. Work, work, work. One thing led to another. Worked, saved money. Got married. I come along, I guess. And that was it. So it went. No more to tell.
Did he move up to Hudson as well?
Hmm?
Did your father move up to Hudson also?
Yeah.
You moved up together? You moved to Hudson with your father?
Mm-hmm. Well, we looked around, you know, to get out of the city. Couldn't stand the city, so moved up here and found a couple of houses and some property, bought a couple of houses and fixed them up. Old houses. Seems we're still fixing them, I don't know, 30 years later. Seems the old houses never seem to finish with them. If it isn't one thing, it's another.
Yeah.
That was it. Fix one, fix up the other, sell one. Fix one up, no sooner fix it up, but the other one needs fixing. One need a new roof 1 year, another one needs a new roof another year, you know. It's always something in old houses, old wooden houses, you know, old wooden frame houses, fix up. That's it. Fix and sell.
Did he keep working as a baker in Hudson?
around Hudson, out of town too. Traveled down to Long Island, lived for a number of years, Astoria, Long Island, or you know wherever the good jobs were. Worked there. Worked long hours. Bakery business seemed to be like no other business. You never seem to be finished. You know, always got orders. People come in and they put an order in, they want, you know, 10 pies for tomorrow and stuff like that, you know. And there was always more and more. Some nights he'd go to work like tonight, like say 6 o'clock, and he worked right on through until tomorrow night, right straight on through. Baking until everything finished, you know. You made so many dozen rolls, so many cakes, so many this, and you had to fill all the orders until you finished. That's it. Long hours. That's his Alice.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon. It's been a real pleasure.
And what do you do with this now?
It's for an archive that will be at the Hudson Library.
Yeah.
So people in the future can know about folks that lived around Columbia County. Know the stories of people's lives that lived here.
I mean, who's interested in this? Who has an interest in this? Knowing somebody else's...
Knowing people's stories?
Well... Tell them enjoy.
I'm sure they will. Thank you.